When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You're the defender of my heart. I heard that song a little less than 2 years ago, and I walked out numb. I walked out into the parking lot, came back in. I realized that I did not have to defend myself. Because when I thought it was up to me, when I thought it was over, when I thought I have lost me, I am out of touch, I can't do this on my own, at that moment, I realized singing that song in this environment that had me focus completely on the fact that it was not up to me. This environment was set up for worship of someone other than me. He knew where I left me. In a mess of pride. A load of ego. And yet he defended my heart. Even though I wasn't battling, he was battling for me. That song is not what does it. It's the emphasis of that this is available. He is your defender. Have you ever thought of him one fighting for you, on behalf of you, when you're exhausted? When you're sitting here going, I've lost my resources. In fact, I've lost my true north. I'm not even sure which end is up. He's there to defend you. Worship team, thank you. And thank you for that selection. Such a timely song this morning. And Carolyn, thank you for that prayer. I shared something similar to this in the past, helping you with really great habits for a healthy heart. And I really feel it's important to bring it up here to Avalon's congregation because we change. We change a lot. There's a lot of transition in this congregation. People coming and going and islanders having to leave the island for at least a little while. Seasonal folks coming in, especially in the summer. Don't let the title throw you off this morning. This is a window for me to share this with you. And can I teach a little bit today? Is that okay? All right. This teaching is going to require full attention, though. It's going to require full attention. And this week, my attention was fully on the mission at hand. And I had a heck of a lot to deal with as a parent. Even battling agreements that the enemy would throw in there. My last of four kids is out of the house now. And the enemy came right in the door. I came home a day early. My wife stayed over town for business, and I came home a day early. And right in the door he came. All the fun just left your home. All the fun has just left your home. I'm like, nice try. What kind of crap is that? Right there. Approaching empty nest in that very fleeting moment, hourly moment. There's an enemy right there. I needed someone to come into defense of my heart. I was exhausted. I didn't know I was going to catch that 8:10 boat. I get home. It's 9:45 when I walk in the house. I'm tired. The enemy is creeping. He's throwing agreements out there. He's throwing agreement after agreement out there. My wife wasn't there for me to share this with. I needed a defender. And I needed someone to rescue me. And I needed someone who could find me where I left me. It's going to require your full attention. And I don't mean just with your mind, because that's a big part of it. But I mean your emotional attention as well. How many know that a real lasting change has to happen in your heart? Talk to me. Yeah, there you go. How many know that a real lasting change has to happen in your heart? Real lasting stuff, okay? It can't just be in your behavior. It can't just be fundamentally in your belief. It's got to go deeper. You have to literally change your belief. And that's kind of what the psalmist is talking about here. Great verse in a series of verses. Three this morning we're looking at. If you're holding them, Look at them. If you're looking at the screen, they'll be up there. Psalm 119, verse 112 says, there aren't many chapters in the Bible, by the way, that have 112 verses, okay? Psalm 119, one of the longest on record. It's constructed grammatically in a specific way, and we're not going to go into that here. I want to really bad, but I want to teach a little bit today if you're cool with it. So it's different. But everything begins with perspective. And the perspective of the psalmist here at the beginning, to be honest with you, is all over the place. It's just everywhere. And I think he's dealing with some inner issues and getting beyond the grammar of the song. We can know a little bit of the intention of it because the psalmist says this, chapter 119, verse 112. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place, my shield. I hope in your word. Father, this morning, as your word has gone out, Father, as your word is available, and it's been both in song and also here in Scripture, I pray for that return. Only your Holy Spirit can do it. Father, may we incline our hearts this morning, and you be right there to show us how it looks and what it needs to look like. Holy Spirit, we ask you to do what you do best, to move about this congregation into the hearts, certainly, and into the minds, the filter of the heart. And Jesus, we say thank you to you. For if it wasn't for all that you've done for us, there'd be absolutely no motive to even be here this morning, even to celebrate a great defender. You are that defender of our hearts. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Forever to the end. I want this to last. I don't just want to see some changes in my life for a few weeks in the summer. Come on, somebody. Okay? Don't want that. I know school is about to start. Some of you say summer is quickly moving, and it's moving really quick for some of you guys. It's here. The new semester, the new season is here. I want to see some lasting change in my life this year. I have some new goals. I'm setting up. I have a different venue. I'm looking at things a little differently than typical fall semesters coming in. What does some of the things that I'm involved in look like underneath my kingdom that God has set me up to rule over? He has been good enough to give me some things, and you too. And under your kingdom, are you going to be a good king, as we've read about in the Old Testament, or a bad king, as you've read about one time and one time only in the New Testament? You never read about bad kings other than once. They never come back into Scripture again, never hear from them again. It's interesting. Good king, bad king, what sort of man, what kind of woman, what kind of parent, what kind of teacher, what kind of grandparent, what kind of aunt, what kind of uncle, who are you? And what is it going to be like this year, this new chapter? The psalmist said, I incline my heart. It has to happen within. Not just behavior, but the belief that drives the behavior has to change. Amen? Or the change won't stay. It's not going to stick. I found this over and over again. Every year we learn it. All over again. The lasting change, okay? Lasting change, what I'm after is to incline my heart. It's an interesting choice of words. If you incline something, it means it naturally wasn't in that position to begin with. It means you had to act on it, to reorient it, so to speak, in a different direction, right? Does that make sense? Okay, well, if you have notes this morning, we don't incline something that's already upright. So it means here that David was writing this, and his heart was most likely declined. Okay? He was looking at this going, I need a course correction. You need to do this for me. And the problem with a lot of us is we go through this reclined, literally. And that is however we wake up. We just sort of stay that way. And however we feel when we get up, That's how we act. And the psalmist said, I act upon my attitude. I incline my heart. David is going somewhere with this. Do you know that you're in charge of your heart, my friends? Y'all know you're in charge of your heart. Don't sit here and say people broke your heart. They can't break it unless you give it away. You can't break it if you don't give it to them. Hey, you guys awake? Right? Okay, that's a big deal. Your heart is up for grabs. And so he said, I'm setting my heart in the direction of heaven. And I wonder if your heart is set in a divine direction today. What direction are you facing with your heart right now? Incline my heart. I don't think that this is something that you do just one time, okay? Some of us went to summer camp, and you just inclined your heart to God, and maybe you were 12. You're at summer camp. You come back. Man, you're on fire. I know there's been a lot of great conferences. I've been to them. I come back. I'm pumped, not just the stuff I learned, but the stuff that inspired me. And Bible camp, whatever it may be, and you may think I'm never going to be tempted again. And I think we want it to be that way, like that infomercial back in the day. This is when we did have cable. And the rotisserie, Showtime rotisserie oven, right? The man said, you said it, and you forget it. Yeah, remember that? Wouldn't it be great just to set your heart and forget it, right? Just set it up, and we're good. We're good. It's all good. No matter what, bring it. It's all good. We're set, right? I just want it to stay that way. And, maybe I'm here today, fourth Sunday of August, and I'm going to set my heart today, and you know what? That ought to get me by. Some people, it's the end of the year. It's the beginning of the year. It's Christmas. It's Easter. I'm going to attend. I'm going to get in that that little attendance checked off here, and I'm good. But the psalmist says it's not enough to set it and forget it. David is calling us out. Have you ever been called out? Happens on the field all the time, right? Happens sometimes in business, too. It can be painful. I know it happens in our outrigger. You can hear the guy in the back. Hey, seat three, pick it up here. Get it going. When you're called out of something, it calls attention. Sometimes we take it negatively. That's not what David's doing here. He said, it's not enough to just set it and forget it. You set it, you check it, you reset it, you check it, you reset it, you check it. Because all through your day and all through your year and starting out your school, your teachers and administrators, and listen to me, your heart is going to be tempted to decline to a default position wherever it was set before. And maybe it's a default position to, and I mean this, oh, crap, here we go again. Oh, we got this kid moving up. Great. Or despair. There goes all the tourism for the year. I don't know how I'm going to be able to make my lease. Or dysfunction. Maybe our perception is so screwed up that it's so distorted that we panic because we overthink or underthink, or we're thinking way outside of what reality actually is. Our perception's way off. Any of that. But when you take charge of your heart, okay? When you take charge of your heart, touch your neighbor and say, take charge of your heart. Wake them up. There you go. That's what the writer of Proverbs said. Not just Proverbs, but Psalms. They both had it right. Psalms and Proverbs, both authors say this. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That is where the issues of life flow from. My friends, the heart is central. It's central. It's where everything stems from. And the filter of your heart is your mind. And the Bible clearly says over and over again, and without by any means of the word, it'll turn right around and even say, be transformed by renewing your mind. God created the mind, and it has the ability to go off kilter. Everything is in flux. Nothing is static. So before you can get the windows of your life open, we got to get our hearts open, okay? the doctor visited him not too long ago. I had some things, just checking some things over, and he was talking to me about my cholesterol level. I'm starting to climb up a little bit here, and I wanted to hear some things from him, and he was my HDLs and all these other things he was talking about, and he's like, Hobbs, just, you know, you need to watch the cholesterol. He says, you look fit, and I felt good about it. He goes, you run, right? I'm like, yeah, I run. I run with the sports that I'm coaching. But he said, if you're not careful, you can look good, okay? You can look good. You can look good and fall over, okay? Look sexy and fall over, right? Be married. Fall over. Get that job promotion. And fall over. Be religious. And fall over, right? Come on. It's not enough. Your heart is central. And it has to happen there, but the big deal of this is this. It happens in the heart, but it starts with good habits. It starts with good habits. I could run till the cows come home, but if I'm putting in the wrong stuff and I'm running, I'm going to collapse, but I look fit. Make sense? Write this in. Your habits create the condition of your heart. That's good. Your habits create the condition of your heart. Every once in a while, you just got to stop and say amen. Congregation, you sound dead asleep this morning. All right? Wake up, folks. Yeah, thank you. Clap whatever you do. I'll tell you right now, I feel like God will do something here if you set on your heart on things above. Not on tired, not on my to-do list today. Oh, it's Sunday. I'm kicking back. Listen to what God's Word is saying to you and set the tone. Set your whole focus on things above. Get your heart set in the right direction. It's going to require some habits. And I want to coach you this morning, so to speak. They're all right here in Psalms. David started with me, and I'm pouring it on to you. The next two verses really are going to nail us between the eyes. Three habits right here. Forever to the end. David says forever to the end. This is that huge word. These absolutes, they're big. Forever to the end. I hate this. Psalm 119, verse 1. 13. I hate. What's that doing in there? Yeah, it's there. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. I don't think we should go on until we talk about what it says here. I hate this, he says. I hate the double-minded. That's not a person I hate, okay? I hate the condition of double-mindedness. I hate it. And I see the thing about hate. Hate is the most powerful motivation for change, not love. And so before you start wanting to reach your goals, okay, maybe the first thing you do is to make a decision. And it's going to be complicated, my friends. My wife's looking at me going, oh, yeah, it's really complicated for you. Change those eating habits. Because, you know, as for me, I have these love-hate relationships with things, and I feel kind of like David. Once, you know, David's son, Absalom, died. We had this message a couple months ago. Joab came to him and said, your son is dead. It's almost like, okay, we can get back into what we used to do here. The kingdom's back available here, and it's okay. And David starts weeping. And Joab was mad. He's like, Absalom was trying to take the throne from you. Absalom was your enemy. David's heart was connected to Absalom, so he's crying. And Joab says, you need to get it together, son. I've been with your whole family for many, many years. I've watched you. I've helped raise you. You hate those who love you, and you love those who hate you. You hate what's trying to deliver you into destruction and destroy you. You love those things. You're confused. And I feel that way about certain things in my life, certain actions, certain behaviors in my own life. I love how they feel for a minute, okay, but then I hate the crash afterwards. Amen? I hate how they feel when I'm doing them. For instance, I hate the plank, okay? I hate the plank. I'll just pull one off for you because it's the only one I'm doing for the week right here. I hate the plank. Anybody here do these things? Oh, gosh.
all this stuff, man, the downward dog and all these, man, you know, I said, I hate doing these. But you know what? I realized when I had my Achilles snap on my left heel, completely snap in half, had to have it reattached with a plate and screws under my heel, that I couldn't jog for a while. I had a scar that I wanted to guard against bacteria. I couldn't get in the ocean for a while. All of a sudden, Hobbs is doing downward dog. Hobbs is doing the plank. Hobbs is actually considering yoga. I was like, this is just for women. You know, all that stuff. Carla's going to kill me. I sat back. You know why I hated it? Because it wasn't a habit. I didn't do it enough to love it. So I hated it. But you don't have to accept your default attitude towards anything. You don't. I incline my heart. I'm going to teach you a little bit today because you came out, and I'm going to make it worth your while. I grew to hate. I grew to hate. I think the moment of realization was when I sat back and I realized this stupid little thing that's happened to my foot here is not going to take me out. It was September, too, and it was hot, man. You know how it gets around here. Santa Anas were blowing. I was just sitting on the couch day after day. It's hot. I'm like, I am not going to sit around here anymore. I hate this. I hate sitting around. I'm just watching this flat tire inflate right around my gut. I'm like, I hate this. Michael, you know, right? You just got to do something. I'll figure out what I'll do. I'll do this on one leg. It's still good. I had to come up with something. And I realized my lower back was hurting me. I had to change. I was motivated by something different out of hate. I know it's a strong word. It's not very pastoral. You have to hate it. You have to hate it. You have to hate self-pity. And the problem with hating self-pity is, ooh, okay, it feels like a bag of Doritos on your tongue. Mm. Oh, come on. Pringles? All right, we'll stick with Pringles. It's not that I hate the taste of Doritos. I just hated what it did to my waist. Mm. So good. I love the taste. It sounds so simple, but it's real deep. The psalmist says, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. And before I can do what I love, I have to know what I hate. I hate this. I hate the way, watch it, okay? I love. Watch what it does for me. But I love what it does for me, but I hate what it does to me. It's a complicated relationship. A bag of Doritos will do something for me late at night. Long-standing relationships with my carbohydrates. Friends, right? Okay? They've been there for me in the midnight hours where I couldn't call on anybody else. I could call on chocolate. Amen. Yeah, I love it. I love it, but I hate it. I hate it. I love what it does for me. Oh, my gosh. But I hate what it does to me. I hate all this. I hate anger. I hate anger. It makes me feel good. It even gets me some results. But I have a complicated relationship with anger. If you get mad enough, you can get kids, teens, even your spouse to do what you want, but then you're all alone after they do it. No one wants to be with you. I hate being angry because I hate being alone. Somebody shout, outcome. Yeah, I hate the outcome of this. And I hate it. I hate what it does to my marriage. I hate what it does to relationships. I hate how it disturbs my inner peace. And it puts me at a state of inner turmoil. It's complicated. It's complicated. I have a complicated relationship with complaining. I love to complain. I love, tell somebody that. I love to complain. I love to complain. I love telling anybody. The Bible says don't do it, but the Bible doesn't say it doesn't feel good. Okay? It feels good to complain. Man, it feels real good to complain. It's like a choice morsel going down. I mean, it's coming out of your mouth just to unload on people. Somebody says, how you doing? You just let them know for 5 minutes. Every ache, every pain. Every disappointment, every struggle. But guess what? Next time they see you coming, they're going the other way. Because it's the law of diminishing returns. It gets you high for a minute. I love to talk bad about people. I do. I tell myself every week I shouldn't say these things. Occasionally I listen, you know, to my own sermons occasionally, and don't say stuff like that. People are going to use that as a weapon. There's going to be a YouTube. You're going down. But I just love it. It makes me feel really good about my dysfunction to talk about yours. And I love talking about other people's dumb decisions. It's a natural high because if I can get you down there, right, then I feel like I'm up here, right? The only problem is I'm setting myself up for decline, and the next time I see you, I can't treat you better than I talk about you. So it ruins my relationships. I love what it does for me. It does something for me. How many will admit that it does something for you? Raise your hand, okay? Yeah, it does. Gossip is all over the place. Talk about what they should have done. Talk about what their kids are like. Talk about it. I told her not to date him. I told him they shouldn't have gotten married. But by the same measure you judge, you will be judged. I love the taste, but I hate the outcome. I hate it. The problem with a lot of our resolutions that we make, even in the new year, is they're motivated by this healthy kind of hate. Healthy hate. Yeah. There's a healthy way to hate. I hate racism. I hate poverty. The only thing that'll motivate me to do anything about it is I've got to hate it. I hate bullying. It's a hot topic here in Avalon. I hate it. My friend was bullied back in high school. He had a very, very serious speech impediment. On paper, he was a genius. Works for Johnson & Johnson company now. Lives outside of Miami. And his wife works for NASA. This guy makes a lot of money, way more than the people that bullied him are making these days. On paper, he's a brilliant person, but with his speech impediment, people would just, they'd go past teasing with him. They would mock him and hurt him inside. I hate it. I hate bullying. My wife said to me just recently, I hate being late. Notice she didn't say she loves being early, okay, because she doesn't. But you got to get to the point where if you're going to see somebody, if we're going to see these things change in our life, I don't want to walk in like that unless you hate being late more than you love hitting the snooze button. You won't make the change. Change has got to happen. Get that thing on your mind, that bag of Doritos, and say, I hate it. Look at your neighbor and say, I hate it. Not you, but I hate it. Make the change. I hate the double-minded. I hate indecision. I hate it. I'd rather make a bad decision than no decision. I hate procrastination, and I'm good at it, but I hate it. I did a lot, but after I've had some great people shake hands in my life to help me get to making those decisions and to not procrastinate, where I hated it too because they did. And I also hate the discipline of preparation sometimes, where I have to look at something in advance and begin working on the plan. And I hate the pain of procrastination more than I hate. You guys tracking with me on all this? Okay. There's pain in procrastinating. There's pain in planning. There's pain in these things. You have to settle yourself. You have to clear what's happening around you to go, okay, I need to prepare my lesson plans. I need to set myself up for work this week and how the end of the week looks. And do I have my boat tickets? Have I made the reservations? You know, it's annoying. After a while, you just want to just not do anything. Relax. I just said to somebody the other day, I never thought I'd hear myself say this, but I used to hate yoga. And now there are parts of that that I love. It resets my back after a long paddle or before. And I think I've reset my heart. I declare a reset. I declare a reset. I declare a reset. There are some things in our lives. They've been on the decline. God's brought you to church here in this August day. A beautiful morning. I know it's warm outside, but it's beautiful today. Amen? Right. He's setting your heart in a different direction. Come on. You got to love the presence of God. This is a new season we're approaching here. And you're going to love the Word of God in this new school year. You have an opportunity to change and mold young lives. You can look at all the negative you want, but you got a new group coming in. You're going to love this season.
These are good things. Philippians 4:8-9 says, think on those things that are noble and good and lovely and of good report. Train your brain to hate things that should not be loved or to motivate you. I know that's what my dad was trying to do when he made us all eat our food on the plate after we had overfilled it eating at Ryan's. I don't know if you have a Ryan's out here, but in the South we had a ton of Ryan's. And we'd go in there, and my vacation memories, my dad would look at me and say, you're going to eat every bite on that plate, son. Every bite. And when he looked the other way with a diversion, my brothers and I were stuffing our pockets with everything we could carry out of that restaurant, especially the honey buns, too. But those associations, he wanted me to hate these things. Maybe that's why God lets us go so low sometimes, so that I will hate it, so I'll despise Egypt, because if I didn't despise it, I'd be tempted to go back. Amen? I hate the double-minded. I love your law. And I know what to hate. And this is healthy habit number two right here. I know where to hide. Do you know where to hide? You better. Because the attacks are going to come and the missiles are going to fly. And the doubts and discouraging thoughts, you're going to get mocked. There's people even this morning doing it right here. Okay, that stuff's happening all over the place, all day long. Discouraging thoughts, going to try to set your heart on a decline. You're going to get off track if you're not careful, take you back, and you're going to get stuck from moving forward. You know where to hide when discouragement flies? This song that we just sung here, that's a place where I can hide. I can hide in the teaching of that song, in the preaching of that song, in the singing of that song. The words there are pointing me towards Jesus. He is my defender. When discouragement comes flying past your head, where do you hide? Or do you run to the same enemy that is attacking you in an effort to hide, my friends? I've done it. I'm not talking about physical places, because the hiding places that we create that destroy us are usually the ones in our heart. I'm just going to go, I'm going to recluse. I'm going to go right back to where I'm comfortable. I'm going to go back to where I know works. I'm going to hide my habit, but when this person's gone, I've got something that makes me feel good that I can't control. I can handle this. You'll be looking over your shoulder, but you have somewhat a feel of control there. David says, you are my hiding place, Lord. You are my shield. That's a powerful thought, isn't it, congregation? Look at what it says. He says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Verse 114. When attacks come, I've learned where to run. And the reason I'm moving forward in my life this year is because I won't be attacked. No, because I know where to run when I am attacked. Help me preach this, my friends. The expectation of no attack is completely a setup for disappointment, okay? But I set myself up for success because I designate in advance where I would hide when the onslaught came. When it came, because it's coming. I've got a place to hide. Write this in. You can't find the place to hide once the attack starts. It's too late. Very powerful stuff. Talk to couples that are dating all the time, especially premarital counseling. And when the issue of sex comes up and God's saying, you need to save this. I created it. It's beautiful. And it's in reservation for a couple that become one. It's important. It's my design for you. And a lot of times we kick the tires early and we set ourselves up to see if this person would be the right person before we marry them, before life begins in a journey of marriage. And when this issue comes up, a lot of people think, well, we don't have a problem with that. And I'm like, I hope that you've made a plan and I hope that you've settled on your plan before you get into the heat of the moment. It's not the time to be thinking, I will make a plan and I'll have a strategy at that point. God says the same thing. Prepare yourself. When the attack comes, who's your shield? Where are you hiding?
Very powerful stuff. So explosive. It's so strong. I want to teach you on this, but the power of making decisions, some of these things, you've already gone through those life lessons. You've taught yourself. Some of you have been through that school. But sticking with those decisions that you're not going to get back. You're not going to go backwards. You can't ask God to protect you from the enemy that you keep running to. This week at commencement services where we dropped our daughter off, there was a variety of songs that were played. And I looked up when I saw the words on this one, "The King of My Heart." And I took this photo with my phone. Where do you hide? When it gets hard, you better set it up in advance. I'm running to the places where there's real protection, not the illusion of protection, because some of us hide in places that seem safe. He said, "You are my hiding place." Elijah went and hid in a cave because it seemed safe. It was far away from Jezebel, and she was threatening his very life. This is an Old Testament story that's worth reading if you haven't, because through the whisper of God came into the cave as Elijah ran from his calling. Are you running from the conflict? Are you running into the conflict? Because the place of conflict is the place of calling. But you have to be comfortable hiding in the midst of hardships, knowing that who is your refuge? God. That's right. You're a strong tower in the battle, not from it. In the battle. And Elijah ran south as far as he could go. He went into a cave, spent the night, and the voice of the Lord went into the cave and said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you hiding here? Why would you choose to hide in the place that would keep you from confined? Keep you confined. Keep you settled here out of your calling. Your calling is out there, son. Did I not protect you on Mount Carmel? Did I not send fire from heaven?" Write this in. You can hide in plain sight when you trust the goodness of God. And I love that little polar bear image that you saw there. You can hide in plain sight when you trust the goodness of God. "I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, but I won't experience life in dead places, so I got to know where to hide." One of my close friends that heard some of the stuff I was talking about regarding the heart, that was with a youth leadership team that I had, wonderful youth leadership team. There was quite a group of them, and they were just a joy to be around. Besides the energy they had, there was a ton of fun with this group. This one leader said, "My hiding place was blame." She said, "My hiding place was blame. When I'm confronted with a need to change, I would hide behind blame." When we were looking at, so to speak, images of where we hide, I just asked, "Where do you guys hide?" And that came out very open, very honest. And I won't do that to you guys to say, turn to your neighbor and tell them the places that you hide. That could be pretty embarrassing. But some of them said some very destructive things. Some of them said eating. Some of them said destructive thought patterns. I had two that said porn. Some said when they turned around, they said, "You know, I hide in my parents. I just kind of run home and I'm like a big kid." Some of us have multiple hiding places, not just one. Everyone here, everybody in here has a hiding place. And some have multiple. This one leader said, "My hiding place was blame. Something goes wrong with the kids. If the kids hadn't, if the car hadn't." You know, blame, it's a convenient hiding place. Because it'll shield you from the inconvenience of actually having to change. And for somebody else that needs to change, it's a convenient hiding place for you. For a little while. Okay? But it's a papier-mâché shield. It's fake. It can only keep you from so much for so long. She said, I blame everybody. I blame the way I was raised. I blame the way my parents were too hard on me. I blame them for being too soft on me. I blame them, for making me have to take piano lessons and stick with it. And then I blame them if they made me go to choir practice. I blame them. I blame them for what I got. I blame them for what they didn't give me. Blame was her hiding place. What's yours? What's yours? Elijah had a cave. She had blame. What's your hiding place? I wonder if you hide behind low expectations. The one in real common, because if you don't expect much, you can't be disappointed. You can't be disappointed. So you learn how to hide behind a very fake smile. You don't really have a whole heart. You just have a fake smile to cover up your half-hearted interior person. And we hide ourselves from even those that are closest to us, because if we hide ourselves behind an image, I can present something to them I don't have to deal with. And who I am and the call of God is coming forth. He's doing all this stuff around me, but I'm still hiding from that. And yet the voice of the Lord came into the cave. The voice of the Lord is coming into your heart. The voice of the Lord is speaking through Scripture today, and he's saying, come out. Come out, Andrew. Come out, Avalon. Come out of hiding. Come out of low expectations. Come out of hypocrisy. Come out from behind this fake spirituality. Come out, wherever you are. You know, when you hide in the shadow of the Most High, you can abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I have a shelter. I don't have to hide behind anything but God's love. I got to look at that scripture in a song on that screen and send that to my daughter going, man, you're going to face some stuff. Just being with roommates that are different. Yeah, that's good. It's a good thing. You don't see it that way, but it's a good thing. We've all been trained that it's a good thing. It'll be a good thing, right? But you're going to need a shelter to hide because there's going to be some stuff going, oh my gosh, how in the world did I get myself into this? I'm glad that this message comes out today. My friends, this is going to open your heart. What good will it do for the windows of heaven to be open? If your heart is blocked, it can be revealed. It can be a gorgeous day here in Avalon. But if your heart is blocked, it's hardened. You're hiding. You got nowhere to hide. Or you'll be running, doing your thing this year and just collapse. You look good. You got it all together. Everything looks good. Everything's in order. Class looks good. Business looks good. And you're just going to pass out. Didn't know where to hide. I didn't know where to go. I don't always do it, but I know where. Okay? I don't always hide in the right places as a pastor. I don't. But I know where. And that's a start. It'll at least point me in the right direction. Somebody shout, I know where to hide. Okay, good. My kids are playing hide and seek one time, and they got locked in a crawl space one time. That's not what you want to do. And you don't want to have that happen. It's like you're running from something, thinking you're hiding, but you're actually locked up. And my friends, it happened at Toyon at CME in that maze of doom over there. It's all I have to say. It was 100 degrees. Anyone been there? You've done that little CME house over there? That is fun, is it not? I think I hit my head like a half a dozen times. It was about 200 degrees in there. I mean, you can lock yourself in a pattern with an attitude and an effort to escape something. And what you get locked in is worse than what you're running from. I'm preaching myself. Anybody awake this morning? Yeah, okay. You need a better hiding place. You got to hide somewhere. So memorize some songs. Memorize a few that we see here in the church. I hear them playing. The computers during the day. In the office, they're playing music. And downstairs, they're jamming music. And it doesn't have to just stay here at church after a service when we're singing music. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. So you may have to sing in the shower to incline your heart to his commands. You may have to hide in a different place. I don't know. Put a Bluetooth speaker in your
golf cart if you need to. I know you're commuting to Vons and back, but you may just need that, right? Don't do it in Vons. They're jamming some cool stuff down there. That's all I know. But you may need to take something to Pebbly with you. You're planning on just a quiet, laid out rock moment on the beach, whatever you guys do. It drives me nuts. But if you're down there chilling out and you have something going in, okay? I'm going to hide in Jesus, or I'm going to hide in enemy-held territory. So feed your mind. Expect to be safe when you put the good stuff in. I know where I'm going to hide. I know where I'm going to hide. I know how to say this. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. And I know this is old, but it still works. In what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. You ever heard that one, right? That one goes back for me. And when I can't crank out the new one that I just learned on Sunday, I love you, Lord, comes up. Why? Because somehow, some way, that one got in. And I found that file, and I pulled it, and it came out, and it went in, and I feel good. Even when I'm paddling, I don't know. It's a long way to Long Point sometimes. I love you, Lord. And all of a sudden, the stroke just kind of goes to the beat. It's me. But, you know, when you're in it, you're in it. And when you get a chance to put it in, put it in. And when I'm squeezed, I can sing. When I'm pressed, I can rejoice because my heart has been inclined to his commands. You guys hitting reset this morning? Y'all hitting reset? I'm charging you up. I want you to picture yourself playing Nintendo. You guys remember Nintendo? Anybody remember Super Nintendo? Pong, right? Reset. Hit that reset. You're about to go and start over. All the progress goes away, and you're starting over again. The psalmist said, I know where to reset my heart. I know where to do it. It's not in the missiles flying over. And you know, I just learn how to duck. Just keep learning how to do this. I pointed my heart in the right direction, and my destiny is going where I know to hide. I know where I'm headed. I know what to hate. I know where to hope. I know where to hope. And I know what to hope in. Write this in. I know how to hope. I want you to stand up. If you have hope, I want you to stand up if you have hope. It's good to have hope. I said it's good to have hope. Thank you. The psalmist doesn't say in this particular instance, I have hope. It's not what he says. Y'all listening? He says, I hope. He doesn't say, I have hope. He says, I hope. All right? And I'm not sure if I learned this in the third grade English or fourth. Teachers, help me out here. But I hope instead of I have hope makes it a verb, not a noun. Right? English teachers here, can you verify what I just said? Help me out. All right, we're on it. Okay, good. It's not just something I have. It's not just something I have. It's something I do. It's an active hope. And you cannot go into another school year, parents, administrators, you cannot hire a new staff for those of you who just lost all of your college students in your business. I cannot coach another year. God knows I almost hung it up this year. Got a whole new batch, whole new crew starting over in so many different levels. I cannot go into this year hoping it gets better. There's a lady that sat next to me on a boat recently. She said, here's my philosophy on hope. I hope for the best and expect the worst. I was like, that's clever, but it's crap, okay? Hope doesn't just wish it would. And I tell you what, if you don't know how to hope, and if you just think hope is when you say, I hope in your word, my friends, that's not a bookmark. That's not something you just say and pull out your favorite coffee mug that says that. It's a way of living. I hope. Somebody say, I hope. Okay? Not just wish, I hope. Hope puts its hand to work. It's a working thing. Hope, not just in my heart, but hope, having your hand
at a task, I'm hoping in something, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. Y'all listening? For the evidence of things unseen. That's what Scripture says. And God wants to open up your heart for the beginning of this season coming up here. You're going to have to put your hand to what you're hoping for. I'm going to turn in direction. I'm going to fix my heart. I'm going to fix my eyes. I'm going to incline my heart. I'm going this direction. In other words, you've got to work at your window. The window is open. And watch this. I don't hope it's not hot outside. I wear sunscreen and a hat. You need to charge the hill. I hope I have a good class. What if you don't? Who gives a rip? Charge the hill. We're going to be a good class. I hope I don't miss the boat. Be there on time. My hope isn't that this church room will be full. I've done that before as a pastor. My hope is that God is going to show up and speak to whoever comes. That's how I hope now. My hope is not in the path. My hope is in the promise. So the path can look like this all over. But I still hope in the promise. I hope in your word. How many of you have received something from the Lord today? Raise your hand. Yeah. You can look next door. That's encouraging. You feel your heart opening up. You feel it can be different. God's doing something. This is going to be an amazing year, and it's already started, my friends. Summer is not over, by the way. There's an opportunity to finish strong. Don't miss the window. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we hope in your word. In your promise. And thank you for your presence. I thank you for the expectation of change. Incline our hearts. We set them up for success. The windows of heaven are open. And so our hearts need to be open as well. We won't be blocked. We've set our hearts. And doggone it, we'll set it again and again and again. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Say it with me, congregation. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.